All right. Good morning, everybody. Good morning, everybody. Kill the music. There we go. Welcome to church. Good to have you. Hello, new girl. How are you? Welcome to church, guys. Do you guys remember the vision that we've been working with this term? Do any of you remember it at all? Any of you?
Oh, yes.
Any of you? I'm going to, let's read it together. I see some of you are struggling. How does it go? It says, we see lives, communities, and society transformed through discipleship, presence, and the power of God. That's what we're about this term. Do you guys believe that? Do you guys think we should be doing other things? Are we wasting our time with this? Or is there something to this vision? There's something to it, all right? Last week, we learned about the prodigal son. He went away, took his inheritance from his father, went away, lived his life the way he wanted to live his life, in wild living, parties. And at the end of it all, he found that he had nothing. No friends, no money left. And one thing that he could still do was go back to the father. I love the message that we had downstairs at worship, that no matter how shameful you feel, God still looks at you with love in his eyes. And that was the message from last week, that we can always go back to God no matter what we've done. And we learned there are things that help us experience God's presence. We wrote those on the wall. Those are the things that get us closer to God. And we also learned there are things that hinder us from experiencing God's presence. And those are the things that we're trying to get away from. And I want to encourage you guys this morning that we see lives, communities, and society transformed through discipleship in the Word, the presence, and the power of God. And we're going to do an exercise this morning that hopefully will try and bring that to life for you guys. Are you guys ready for a bit of an experience? Are you guys ready for a little bit of an experience?
Yes.
Let's do it.
After the death of Moses, God spoke to Joshua, Moses' assistant. Moses, my servant, is dead. Get going. Cross this Jordan River, you and all the people. Cross the country I'm giving to the people of Israel. I'm giving you every square inch of the land you set your foot on, just as I promised Moses.
I will never forget the day when Moses told Joshua that he was going to die and that Joshua had to lead the people into the promised land. Poor old Joshua, he was scared spitless. I thought he was going to have a heart attack on the spot.
Thank you. Oh, so what happened? I thought you were stuck on the other side of a wide and strong flowing river.
Well, Joshua knew that God had promised the land to them. So somehow, God would have to do something miraculous to get them across the Jordan River.
What happened next?
When the priests got to the Jordan and their feet touched the water at the edge, the Jordan overflows its banks throughout the harvest. The flow of water stopped. It piled up in a heap, and the river went dry all the way down to the salt sea. And the people crossed facing Jericho.
Are you serious? The river just stopped flowing, and you walked across on dry ground.
It was so cool. Well, Joshua knew that God had promised the land to them. So somehow God would have to do something miraculous to get them across the Jordan River.
Joshua said, "Your God dried up the Jordan's waters for you until you had crossed, just as God did at the Red Sea, which had dried up before us until we had crossed. This was so that everybody on earth would recognize how strong God's rescuing hand is, and so that you would always hold on God in solemn reverence."
There's some things that God can do, amen? There's some things that God can't do. That was a trick question. Well done. You guys are awesome. There's nothing that God cannot do. Nothing is impossible for God. And I want the first exercise that you guys do is to think about something that God has done in your life, a miracle that he's performed, something that you thought could never happen or would never happen, and you actually saw it happen. And if you can't think of that, I want you to think of something that he did to someone that you know, family member, a friend, where you actually witnessed and saw something happen in their lives. And I want you to turn around and I want you to write it on the board behind you. You can think about it. It can be a word, it can be a sentence, it can be five words. Anything that God did or has done in your life or in someone that you know. And I want you to write it on the board. There's nothing that God can't do. If you're still writing, just continue writing. If you're not, just turn around and look at me. As Christians, as believers, we have to believe that God is still in the business of doing miracles. You have to believe it. He didn't only part the Red Sea back in the day when our forefathers were there and our grandfathers were there. He didn't only part the Red Sea then, but he's a God that can do miracles today. That's his business. He's in the business of doing miracles. And he wants you guys to trade with him. Do you know how you trade? Do you know what you offer him? You offer him faith. That's all you need to give him. You know, in the Bible, there's so many ways that God does so many things. Sometimes he heals people, he touches them and they get healed. Sometimes he just prays for them when they're not even there and they get healed. And all he requires is for people to have faith. That's all. And this morning, it doesn't matter what we do, and we're going to do an exercise to exercise your faith, to see how far or how much you believe that God can still answer your prayers today. Because God is still in the business of removing barriers.
You must have been so happy to get across the river.
Well, kinda. There we stood, and in front of us was this massive city, surrounded by the biggest walls we had ever seen. You could have had chariot races on top of the walls. They were so thick. How are we going to capture the city that stood in our way?
But God promised you would take the land, so you knew he was going to use his power.
I wish we had your faith as we stood in front of Jericho.
Now Jericho was shut up tight as a drum because of the people of Israel. No one going in, no one coming out.
Here's what I want you guys to do. We know that God has done things, right? We know that he's done stuff before. Now, I want you guys to think of a situation or an area in your life where you feel you're struggling with something. Your Jericho, your wall, the thing that you can't get over or get through. Some of you, it might be a relational thing. It might be at home. It might be a friend. It might be a little thing that you just keeps frustrating you and you can't get over. Whatever that thing is, I want to ask you to write it down on a piece of paper on the table over there. Write it down, and then I want you to put it. There's going to be a box in the middle here. Put it in the box. Don't let anybody see it. You can find your own little corner, fold it up after you've written it down, and then just drop it in the box in the middle of the room.
Is the Lord God Almighty, the whole earth on the prayer.
God spoke to Joshua, "Look sharp now. I've already given Jericho to you, along with its king and its crack troops."
Wow, Dad. Did God actually speak to Joshua?
Yes, he did. God promised him that the city would be captured by the Israelites.
So how did you know what to do?
God gave us specific instructions.
Here's what you are to do. March around the city, all your soldiers. Circle the city once. Repeat this for 6 days. Have 7 priests carry 7 ram's horn trumpets in front of the Ark of God's presence.
March around the city for 6 days. That's like forever. Didn't the people get tired?
Sure we did, but that is what God told us to do. It sounded silly, but it made us realize that we're not going to be the ones fighting this battle. God was fighting it on our behalf.
Let's find some people who are still writing. You know, sometimes God, you have a problem and you go to him and it gives you a solution that makes absolutely no sense. These guys had to take over a country. They had to take over a city. And God said to them, all they need to do is march around the city 6 times, once a day for 6 days. Now, I know if I came to you and you were a strategic warlord and I said, Sichaba, we need to take over Durban. What must we do? I know the first thing that you're going to probably thinking is who we need, how many weapons we need, how many soldiers we need. The last thing on your mind is that we should be marching around Durban for 6 days, doing nothing but marching around Durban for 6 days and doing nothing but marching around Durban for 6 days. Guys, sometimes God gives you answers to your problems that don't make sense. And he says, just do this. And all you need to do is have faith. I said to you earlier, God heals, God performs miracles in 1,001 different ways. He's not confined to, I must do this, and then I must do this. God is God, and he will sort your problems out the way that he sees fit. All you need to have is
faith.
That's it. Sometimes at school, you have a problem, and you think, man, I just need to do A, B, C, D, and E, and God is like, no, just do G. And you're like, no, Lord, but G doesn't make sense. I need to do A, B, C, D, E, F, and then G. And God says to you, no, just do G. Lord, I don't have money, yet you're telling me to give. Have faith. Lord, that person just made me angry, and you're telling me to love them. Just have faith. Lord, my family is breaking apart. You don't want me to say anything. My mom just accused me of doing something that I didn't do. I really want to give her a piece of my mind. No, just keep quiet and have faith. And this morning, I want us to exercise what the Bible kind of gives us an illustration of in Jericho. I want us to do something that makes absolutely no sense. The same way that they marched around for 6 days, once around one day, once around second day, and for 6 days they marched around. I want us to walk around our Jericho. This is our Jericho here. Your problems are up here. You can't reach them. You can't get to them. You don't know what's happening up there, but they're there. They're still with you. And all I ask for you guys this morning is to give your faith to God. That as you're doing this simple exercise that doesn't make sense, that he's doing something in heaven that will change everything. And I want to ask you guys, we're going to march around 6 times in complete silence around our Jericho. You guys are ready to apply your faith and see what God does? We need 2 generals here to lead the way, to stand where I'm standing and then lead the troops around. 2 generals. There we go. 1 general. We need another. Is this a generalless? We need a general. There we go. And I want you guys to do this exercise, not as a little game that we're doing, but something that you're applying your faith to. 6 times around this Jericho in total silence. You haven't walked around 6 times, just finish and then stand still.
Did anything happen on the 6th day?
No, nothing at all. But God wanted us to walk around Jericho again on the 7th day.
Dad, that is so much walking. It makes me tired.
Don't worry, son. The story is getting to the most exciting part.
When the 7th day came, they got up early and marched around the city. The priests blew the trumpets and Joshua signaled the people, "Shout, God has given you the city." When the people heard the blast of the trumpets, they gave a thunderclap shout. The wall fell at once. The people rushed straight into the city and took it.
As we marched around the city on the 7th day, we all suddenly shouted at the top of our voices. We shouted things like, "God is great," or "victory," or "walls come tumbling down."
What happened next?
You won't believe this, but the walls collapsed into a pile of rubble, and the city was defenseless.
They shouted, The walls fell and the city was defenseless. Their strategy was to march around, shout, walls fall down, and they found their enemies not ready. This morning, I want us to do the exact same thing. I want us to walk around the seventh day, one more time around. And when we stand still and you hear the trumpet sound, I want you guys to shout from that place. You know that place? That from your liver. I want you to shout from your small intestine. Don't shout from your large one. And I want you guys to give a shout to God as if whatever you've written up there is falling down. Whatever you wrote down is getting better. And remember what I said in the beginning? It makes no sense to shout your problems away, but that's only if you don't have faith in God. It makes all the sense in the world to do it if you have faith in God. So I want you guys, whatever you wrote down there, it's coming down, it's getting better, it's not going to stay the same this morning. If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, whatever mountain is up there is going to move. So I want to challenge you guys. Silence one more time around. We all stand still. And when we hear the trumpet sound, I want you, you're not even listening to the people next to you. This isn't about making a sound together. It's about you shouting your own cry, your own shout, your own scream to the heavens and angels working on your behalf. Are you guys ready for that? Are you guys ready to shout? Are you guys ready to shout to God? It's quite far away up there, so we need to shout so you can hear, the angels can hear. The ones who are sleeping as well can know that, hey, it's time to work. You guys ready? All right. We need our generals. And one more time, seventh time around, we stand still. When you hear the trumpet sound, I want you guys to give it horns.
Story, Dad.
No, there's one more thing that happened. God had told us to do something very strange. We had to burn the whole city and not keep anything for ourselves as a sign that he had destroyed it completely.
Ah, cool.
Night, son.
They burned down the city and everything in it, except for the gold and silver and the bronze and iron vessels, all that they put in the treasury of God's house.
Now here's what we're going to do. We're going to burn this city down.
Come on now.
And I want you guys to follow Mark outside, where we're literally going to put fire to everything that you wrote down there.
That has been 5 weeks of an incredible journey in our vision statement. We're a little bit slow in this place. You would expect us just to tell you the vision statement on one morning and then do something else. But I think you would agree that we have experienced something of the statement that we see lives, communities, society, what? Transformed by discipleship in the Word, the presence of God, and the power of God. Did you notice this morning that in this journey, all three of those were involved? Those people the Israelites didn't even have scrolls or Bibles or manuscripts like you and I have today. But what they did, you know what they did at the river? They put 12 stones in the river as a remembrance of what God had done. And that's why you wrote this morning on that wall. That was the word. It was writing down things that God has done before. It gives you something to hold on. And today, thank God, we can open up the Bible and get a promise straight out of the pages of God's word that says, "Do not fear, I have overcome your enemies." And so this morning we reenacted something of that first part, which is transformation happening through the word of God. You remember that Sunday we camped a lot around getting into the word, reading it. It's great to read novels. It's great to read set books at school. But I need a diet of the Word of God. And the devil doesn't really want us to read the Word of God. He would prefer us to be tired and go to sleep or to watch Three and a Half Men or something. But the Lord wants us to consume His Word. There was the idea of the presence of God in this as well, because in front with these priests, when the generals were walking, the Ark of God's covenant, the Ark of God's presence went in front. And that was a symbol that God was with them. And there's a third part that is involved in transformation, and that is when the power of God comes through. And so you and I need to be in the Word. We need to put ourselves in a place, and we looked at some of those places last week where the presence of God can be experienced. And also, we need to be saying, this is not by might, nor by human strength, but by the Spirit of God. That's where the power comes from. And even as Imta challenged us today, sometimes we're going to look a little bit silly, but there's going to be a power in what actually happens and what God calls us to do. Next week, we're going to hear directly from God, each and every one of us. As the prophetic team are here on Sunday morning, you'll come. We'll share a few words about what hearing a prophetic word is all about, what you can do with it. And then one by one, you will have an opportunity to approach someone who is sharing God's word over your life. No one is going to have God shame them. God does not shame anybody. You remember this morning in worship? Shame is not part of God, okay? And so it's not like, oh, I wonder if they're going to say that I picked my nose when I was driving once in my car. No, that's not the prophetic. But it is about who you are and who God has made you to do. Sometimes it even sneaks into the future and unveils a little bit of your destiny. And it's going to be God addressing you and speaking to you. And it's going to be something to truly treasure. Okay, and we'll encourage you once you've heard it, maybe to sit down and write some of the key thoughts from that word.